Your Financial Choices may discuss various financial-related topics and thus would like to offer the following disclosures. Lori Siebert is employed by Valley National Group, the Valley National Financial Advisors Group of Companies. Investments are offered through Valley National Investments Incorporated, member FINRA. We inform you that any federal tax, state tax, financial advice, or information contained in this communication is not intended to be personalized or specific in nature, or to be relied upon for your personal situation in any circumstance. The advice and information are not intended and cannot be used as a tax opinion letter, nor used for the purpose of avoiding tax-related penalties. For personalized advice specific to your own situation, we recommend that you consult your CPA, CFP, or attorney.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. I'm a CPA, CFP, and AEP on the web at yourfinancialchoices.com. You can listen online each and every week at wdiy.org. Today is August 22nd, 2018. The markets were mixed today, but for the most part, kind of flat. The Dow closing slightly down at 25,734. The NASDAQ slightly up at 7,889. And the S&P slightly down at 2,861. Our topic tonight is the elements of financial planning. The elements of financial planning. We are live tonight. We will take your questions. Lori C. is in the studio. And we'll answer calls, take your information, and we ask you to mute your radio so you can hear me without the delay and we can talk without confusion. We do discuss general financial planning topics and not specific investments, and while I typically have a topic each week, you can still ask questions off topic. I'll do my best to answer them. You can call in live and talk with me, or if you're not comfortable talking live, you can just give your question to Lori. She'll write it down and she'll bring it in, and I will do my best to answer. How do you ask questions? The phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. Email is also available at yourfinancialchoices.com. So when I talk about the elements of financial planning, basically what I'm talking about, the major elements, are cash flow, income taxes, retirement, risk management, investment management, and estate planning. So those six elements of financial planning, why are they so important? The reason I like to review those with people is because a decision in one area can impact several of the other areas. So we like to make sure that people are coordinating their financial planning. And we're going to talk about little ways that would be impacted and what it means. Additional areas that, you know, are typically included in financial planning. This isn't, you know, strictly just these areas, but this is the good kind of broad spectrum of them. Additionally, we might include education planning and elder care planning as well. So understanding the financial impact of how a decision in one area impacts another area can add that value in reaching your goals and meeting your goals. It increases your chance of success, we hope, by making smart decisions and being proactive and not reactive. I say that at the end of every show. So to understand the coordination, it is sometimes helpful to have a financial plan prepared so that prior to making any decisions, you need to understand your own financial profile. And in order to do that, it includes things such as doing an inventory of your assets, your liabilities, and your cash flow. And then you overlay that with your goals. So you need to identify your goals. I think I did a whole show on just talking about goals and how to identify them, about defining them. If you talk too generally about your goals, it is much harder to reach them, basically. So you want to take some time in identifying what those goals are. And I can go through a little bit of some highlights from a workbook that we typically use when we're working with clients on doing financial planning. So basically, we want to talk about the elements of financial planning. But in order to talk about those elements of financial planning, you have to do some homework first. And that is understanding your own situation. How do you do that? You do an inventory. I'm going to talk about the inventory for a minute. getting the picture. I will talk with that about what that means, and then coordinating the decisions. And that is that whole piece of understanding the elements of financial planning. So let's talk for a minute about doing an inventory. And I've had a number of shows about that as well. Those shows are as podcasts on the website, wdiy.org, and you can sort through those under local programming. Just look for your financial choices and find various shows where I've talked about some of these items I'm highlighting this evening. But the inventory will include a list of assets. And in that inventory, what I also like to see is what kind of asset it is. It's not just dollars that we're looking at. It is actually the type of assets that you have, whether it is a bank account, a brokerage account, an IRA account, 401k, Roth IRA, annuity, all very important in knowing what kinds of assets they are. Even better yet, if you have an inventory of kind of the rates of return you're getting on them or the income expectation from those, how they are titled, are they in your name alone, are they joint titled, or do they have a beneficiary designation on them, such as transfer on death or payable on death? Who are the named beneficiaries, if you have primary beneficiaries or contingent beneficiaries? So you're taking this inventory of your assets. Also important to take an inventory of are your liabilities. What kind of liabilities are we talking about? Big one most people who are homeowners have, a mortgage. What is the balance on that mortgage? What is the time period remaining on that mortgage? What is the interest rate? Are the real estate taxes escrowed and the insurance escrowed? You want to know what liability that is and how much it's costing you and how much is, what's the term and rate of interest, not just on mortgages, but also home equity loans or lines of credit. I have had, and it's interesting because I don't know if this is something in Pennsylvania because I'm from Michigan. Typically, when we say a mortgage, we basically mean anything that your home is securing. And I've asked clients, what is your mortgage? They tell me what their mortgage is. And they say, oh, yeah, my mortgage is only $100,000. I say, oh, wow, that's great. You're doing really well. And you know, a little later I find out, but they also have a home equity of $50,000. And it's like, wait, I thought we just had a mortgage of $100,000. So when I'm asking those kind of questions, I want to know any liabilities, especially the ones that your home is securing. So your mortgage, home equity, or line of credit, credit cards, what rate of interest are you paying? How much do you pay? Do you make the minimum payment? Do you pay it off every month, which is fantastic? So credit cards, student loans, what interest rate? What time period? So the term and the interest rate are always very, very important to understand. Credit cards, student loans, and car payments. So what kind of car loans do you have as well? Any kind of debt. So those are your liabilities. Maybe you have a personal loan with a family member. Include that as well, because they may be including that as an asset in their estate. So don't think you're necessarily off the hook if mom and dad loaned you $50,000 and you think it's just going to go away when they die. They might actually have that documented in their paperwork, and it could be a slice out of your inheritance. That's when you true up with mom and dad. So any kind of liabilities. And then probably very, very important, and I think people don't understand the significance of this, and that is understanding your cash flow. Most people don't like doing budgets. They don't like having a budget, but time and time again, I will tell you my experience is people who know how much money they spend are the people who have money. So the people who know how much money they're spending are the ones who have money. That is a generalization, but I've seen it over and over again. So as part of doing your inventory of your assets and your liability, also do a little bit of an inventory on your cash flow. What resources do you have coming in as far as wages, self-employment income, interest, dividends, required minimum distributions, IRA distributions, pensions, Social Security? What are the cash flows? And then what are the expenses? And that's probably the hardest thing. Most people think they don't really spend that much. But when you start breaking it down, you find all those little trips for entertainment and eating out and those kinds of things really add up. So you want to do an inventory of the inflows, but also the outflows, and be really realistic about it. If you don't think you have any money at the end of the month and you bring in $10,000 and you're spending $7,000 and you don't have any money at the end of the month, that means you're probably a little off on your cash flow and you need to review it a little bit better. So we're going to talk about what the next step would be after you do this little inventory prior to jumping into the elements of financial planning and why it's so important when we come back from our break. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. Back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including fee-based asset management. It all starts with personal goals and an understanding of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and the markets. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Spread the word about your business or organization to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR News and locally produced programs reaches thousands of engaged listeners in the Lehigh Valley and beyond. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable and effective way to provide information about your product and services to people who care. To learn more about underwriting opportunities, 610-694-8100, extension 6, or WDIY.org.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices right here on WDIY. If you have questions, we are live this evening. The phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. If you're not comfortable talking live on air, you can just give your question to Lori C. She'll write it down and bring it into the studio, and I will do my best to answer the question. What are we talking about tonight? We're talking about the elements of financial planning and the importance of coordinating your financial planning across these elements, which I mentioned were cash flow, income taxes, retirement, risk management, investment management, and estate planning. And in order to kind of first know what you're coordinating, I think it's a really good idea to have a picture of where you are. And in order to take a picture of where you are, you need to have do an inventory of your assets, your liabilities, and especially important is to understand your spending habits, your inflows and your outflows, your cash flow. With that information, you have that picture, but in addition, you may be able to use that picture to do a financial plan. There are calculators out there on many websites now where it may allow you to enter this kind of information where you can kind of do a do-it-yourself type of financial plan. What I have found is sometimes those software products that are out there, which are promoted, I would say, by some of the major financial firms out there, custodians out there, it's an idea for them to know kind of how much assets you have too, right? But in doing it, you don't always understand what's under the hood. So I think I just want to give you a caution that it could be something's better than nothing to have some kind of a calculator that can tell you if you put this in and you have these certain expenses, does it look like you're going to be okay in retirement based on some, you know, assumptions? But those are sometimes broad assumptions, but it is probably better to have something than nothing if you don't want to hire a financial planner to do it. So you could use some of these calculators. What I found, though, is some of the calculators do not include pre-retirement activity. They only start at retirement. So what that means is the pre-retirement activity is really based on certain assumptions. Maybe it doesn't include shortfalls or variations in spending. So you have to be careful about that as well. So the picture of your financials will give you an idea of if you're in good shape to reach certain goals. So you can do that through a calculator. Some people do it in an Excel spreadsheet. Some people hire financial advisors or a financial planner to do a projection for you. Whatever works to help you see that picture is a great start. If you are doing a projection and you have the benefit of having a projection that may start pre-retirement, because it's always best to start planning sooner than later. It's not always a good idea to ask if you can retire at age 65. If you can retire at 66, we don't have as much of a planning runway for that kind of time period. But let's pretend you're 50 or 55 and you're thinking, maybe I want to retire when I'm 65, 62, 65, 70 even. Then we have a little bit of a longer planning opportunity to help you get there, to reach those goals, maybe even a little sooner if we have a little bit longer of time to plan. But the benefit of doing a projection is you can see the opportunities, you can see the shortfalls, you can see this if there's surpluses, but you can see the opportunities for planning that may include doing financial planning, things like Roth conversions or charitable giving or gifting or 529 plans. There's just so many different financial planning strategies that you can use to reach your goals, and they kind of present themselves when you have a financial plan. So now let's talk about what those elements are. So when we take this picture and we see these opportunities, what those opportunities lead to are actions that are needed to help you reach your goals or make certain decisions. And what might the actions include? It could include strategies that you could use in any one of these major elements of the financial planning. So we can look for strategies in the cash flow, in the income taxes, in the retirement, in the risk management, investment management, and estate planning. So let's start first. Before I get into that, I realized I was going to go more into more detail in order to create this picture. We want to talk about the goals. And remember, I said some people will use broad goals where they might say, I want to retire at 65. Well, that might not be everything, because when you say you want to retire at 65, what else do you want to do? Is everything else going to be static? No, you might want to retire at 65 and travel around the world, travel every other year, travel and take your family with you. And all of that might cost money, and it is above and beyond ordinary living expenses. So you would want to incorporate that into your planning to see, are there certain strategies we could use to add value in your decision making. So let's talk about identifying goals. If I just say to someone, what are your goals? And they say, I want to retire. You get a different answer than if I say to you, what are you thinking you want to do in retirement? Are you thinking you might want to travel? Do you want to have a special trip? Do you want to have that every year, every other year? What is that going to look like? I could get a very different answer than just retire at 65. What if I said, and in your retirement, you're going to be spending more time at home now. How is the house? Is it set up for you? Are you comfortable there? Oh, no, I've been working so hard. I haven't been able to pay attention to the house. I've been wanting to renovate it for years and years. My kitchen's too small, and I need a larger kitchen, and I need to add an extra bathroom because, my adult child is going to come back home. So all of a sudden, you have more definition around what retirement's going to look like. It could include special travel. It could include special home improvements. Do you think you might end up having to help a family member with maybe nursing care or home care? Maybe you have a parent, an elderly parent who lives in a different area of the country and you want to really help them out and you have the financial means to do so. Are you going to contribute to some caregiving that, you know, wouldn't have been in your current budget? What about cars? Do you need a new car? As we get older, we need more reliable cars when we're driving around and maybe going to visit our children or grandchildren. Maybe that car that you use just to go back and forth to work is 10 years old, no big deal. You didn't really go anywhere. Now you're retired, you're older, you don't see as well. There's all kinds of bells and whistles on cars now that have safety features. Maybe it's time for you to upgrade to one of those vehicles that has those safety features. If you don't put in a purchase of, $40,000 for a car every 10 years in your plan, you might run into some hiccups as we go along. Some people, when we're talking about financial planning, They will say, I want to spend all my money. I don't need to leave any to my children. They're fine. Other people will say, I want to leave a nice nest egg for my children. Well, that planning is going to look very different for one couple versus the other if that is the end result. Other items real quick, starting a business, a wedding, private school, helping with children's maybe education plans. Maybe you have children, young children, you need to plan for some education as part of your plan. You're planning early. We need to factor that in. Charitable giving. A lot of folks have some charitable intent and they don't know how to do it best. Lots of strategies around charitable giving, even with the changes in the tax reform, lots of different ways to still get some tax advantages for charitable giving. So those are some of the goals you'd want to define and incorporate that in along with your assets, liabilities, cash flow, and now our goals. So now we're going to make that picture and we're going to talk about all the different elements of financial planning when we come back from this next break. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. Back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including income tax preparation for individuals, businesses, estates, and trusts. Tax preparation involves more than putting numbers on a return. It requires planning. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
American folk music offers a variegated pattern of performers and styles. I'm Tom Druckenmiller, your host for In the Tradition. Together, we'll trace the roots and branches of American folk music from the earliest recordings and performers through today's talented players. In the Tradition, Wednesday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. on WDIY 88.1 FM and WDIY.org.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices on WDIY.org. Podcasts of prior shows are also available on that website under local programming, Your Financial Choices. If you have questions this evening, the phone number is 610-758-8810, and you can talk live on air, or if you're not comfortable talking live on air, you can call in, give your question to Lori C. She'll write it down and bring it into the studio, and I will do my best to answer your question. That phone number again is 610-758-8810, and you can also email questions through the website yourfinancialchoices.com. So we've set the stage for financial planning and where these elements of financial planning become so important in coordinating your financial decisions and strategies that you're going to use, understanding that a decision in one area is going to impact another area. So the elements, cash flow, income taxes, retirement, risk management, investment management, and estate planning. For example, if you have a shortfall in cash and you're desperate and you have a roof repair and it's $20,000 and you don't have the money in the bank and you don't want to put it on your credit card, so instead you decide to take it out of your retirement account. Without thinking, you just say, well, I need $20,000. My retirement account's pretty big. I'm going to take $20,000 out of my retirement account because I don't want to have any credit card debt or home equity loan or whatever it might be. Well, sounds simple in the moment, but then the next year when you go to do your taxes and you have a 1099-R from that retirement account showing a $20,000 distribution and that it's income taxable, you could be in for a surprise, especially if you're under age 59 and a half and you took an early distribution and now you're not only subject to income taxes, you're also subject to a 10% penalty. You have to understand what you do in one area of this financial grid that I'm talking about will impact another area. So taking money, for example, to help with cash flow, it impacted your retirement account because now you've lowered your retirement account and the ability for that to continue to grow for you. And it impacted the income taxes. All right. So that's just an example. So when we talk about cash flow, you have to understand that we will have available to us different streams of income pre-retirement and post-retirement. you need to understand what is available to you pre-retirement. You're working, you're in your working years, everything's good, you've got that money coming in, and you know, you feel secure, you're not as worried about the unknown because you feel like you've got this job and you've got this money coming in. In post-retirement, you may not feel as secure because you don't have the wages coming in. Maybe you only have Social Security available. Maybe you do have a 401k. Very few people these days might have a pension still available. So you have to understand what's happening pre-retirement and post-retirement. But I think what happens sometimes when people are thinking about their own financial picture, they're very comfortable and secure in knowing that they're in their working years and they're earning money. But if you only think in the present like that, you may not be prepared for the risk management piece of it. Risk management is typically we think of insurance, but it's not just insurance. Insurance, which would cover life insurance, long-term disability, short-term disability, property and casualty, long-term care insurance, that kind of thing. Risk management could also include, what if I lose my job? If I'm making, $6,000 a month and I lose my job and now I get unemployment, well, you're not going to get $6,000 a month in unemployment. It's capped. It's going to be a much, much smaller number. And I don't know what it is off the top of my head anymore. Is it $500 every 2 weeks or 1 week? I don't remember. Much smaller number. So you have to make sure that you're also saving for an emergency reserve. And don't always assume you're going to have that cash flow coming in to pay those bills. You get used to a certain lifestyle and you spend to that lifestyle and you don't realize when you retire, you can't always continue that same kind of lifestyle because your resources aren't the same as they were. So, you know, quite often I'll tell people you're going through a period of transition. Let's make sure you get through this transition from working to not working because sometimes the spending habits take a serious turn. When we're looking at cash flow, we also have to think about what kind of fixed cash flow might we have. Typically, we're seeing this in retirement. We're talking about a pension or Social Security, maybe some survivor benefits or annuity income. And fixed income is nice, and it's kind of nice to know that you have that, and that kind of bolsters or makes you feel a little bit more confident when you have a portfolio that you can draw from when you need it. But as we know, markets can be volatile and sometimes they go up and down. And what if you can't, you know, what if you need money when the market's down? It's kind of nice to know if you have some fixed income that you can count on as well. But not everybody has that. So you have to make sure that you're paying attention to that. And that goes to connecting the cash flow with the investment management as well. Because what if your fixed income that you have in retirement years is not enough to meet your cash flow needs through, again, fixed income like Social Security or a pension? If that's not going to be enough to meet your monthly needs, what are you going to do? Either you have to lower your expenses or you say, I planned for this. I saved my money while I was working and I have some assets that I can draw from. That's the investment management side. What are they providing? Are they providing you with a stream of income? Is there, what's the total return on the portfolio? There might be interest and dividends that you can rely on, but maybe there's some growth in the portfolio that you can rely on. And if you end up having to take money out of the investment portfolio for your cash flow, that also will impact your taxes. So all of these pieces work together. This is why we want to make sure that you have a picture of where you are, where you're going, so that when you are in a position that you have to make a quick decision or even meet one of your goals, that you're doing it in the smartest way possible. Sometimes people will need extra cash. Where are we going to get it from? It might not be a good idea to take it out of the retirement account. It might not be a good idea to take it out of the brokerage account. It might not be a good idea to take it out of the cash. It all depends on your situation at the time, depends on your tax situation. You want to make sure that you're coordinating it. If your income is variable, There again, knowing that you have variable income, you're going to have to be a little bit more, or you may have to be a little bit more conservative in some of the other areas of your financial picture. If you're not sure you can count on a certain stream of income, then in your good years or your good months, you're going to want to accumulate some money so that in the low years, you can draw from some of those savings. I'm assuming this all makes sense. We're coming up at the halfway point. We're talking about the elements of financial planning and how you have to kind of have a picture of where you are, where you're going, and then with that, taking advantage of planning strategies to make sure all of these elements are working together to your advantage to maximize the value you can get out of your planning. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. Back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including estate planning and tax preparation, especially for Pennsylvania and New Jersey residents subject to state inheritance tax reporting. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
This is WDIY at 6:30. Your current temperature is 78. On your Thursday, sunny with a high near the 78. Thursday night, mostly clear with a low around 55. And Friday, sunny with a high near 79. And Friday night, mostly clear with a low around 59. Saturday, sunny with a high near 81 degrees. And Saturday night, low around 63. Sunday, mostly sunny with a high near 85. And Sunday night, low around 67. Now back to your financial choices with Lori Seabird.
Thank you, Shandi. Welcome back, folks. We are talking about the elements of financial planning, and most particularly how one area of your financial life impacts another area when you are making financial decisions. And this can happen on a daily basis, a monthly basis, a yearly basis, from time to time, decisions that you're making as you go through life. Nothing touches us more every day than financial decisions. It's an everyday kind of thing. We're all driving our cars, using gas, or paying for our cars while we're driving them. We have our homes, we have utilities, we are maybe going to work, whatever it is, financial decisions impact us every day. So kind of getting a little control over our financial lives and decision making is really important and can make a big difference. I often say to people, if you found $20 on the floor, would you pick it up? Generally, the answer is yes. So we have to make a game of it. In fact, next week, I'm talking about finding money. Let me count the ways. So we're going to talk next week about opportunities to get money and in ways that are sometimes right before us, how we can make kind of better financial decisions or be aware of what's going on around us to find money. So I'll talk about that next week. So the elements of financial planning. So cash flow, we talked about a little bit. Again, all of these areas impact the other. So I'm going to be kind of probably, it'll sound like I'm repeating myself in some regard, but it hopefully will demonstrate how they work together. I often give the analogy of a pool table with the balls on the pool table. You crack them or break the ball, you know, the balls, they go all over the table and you hit one and it hits another and one area impacts the other. So let me talk about income taxes for a minute. Oh, first let me say the phone number one more time, 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. You can call in live with questions or off air, whatever you're more comfortable, or through the website yourfinancialchoices.com. Income taxes. How are my resources taxed? I mean, do people appreciate or understand that the income on your tax return can have different tax rates? We have ordinary income tax rates and we have capital gains tax rates. And there's, you know, a few other rates in there. And that there's also additional taxes such as self-employment income tax. There's a Medicare surtax. There's the net investment income tax. So there are a lot of different taxes that your money could be subject to, And if you have an understanding of that, that also could help you make better decisions either on your savings or on your investing to maximize the best tax rate for yourself. So, for example, while you are working, if you are in a higher tax bracket and at your retirement, you expect that you're going to be in a much lower tax bracket. Does it make sense, if you can afford it in your cash flow, to save money into a retirement account whereby you defer the taxes today until such time you take the money out of the retirement account, typically in retirement, when you're in that lower tax bracket? So if your cash flow allows, meaning we don't want you running up your credit cards if you don't have the proper cash flow to take care of your everyday expenses, if it would allow, if you put money in your retirement account and get that deferral, you're saving those higher taxes today for that period of time when you retire, when you sometimes could be in the lower tax bracket. That is not always the case, though, by the way. Sometimes we have people who defer so much money into retirement accounts that when they retire, they end up being in a higher tax bracket when they retire. So you have to be kind of do a nice blend of saving for retirement in a mix of ways, sometimes through the retirement accounts and hopefully in maybe a brokerage account where you're kind of getting long-term capital gains and dividends and things like that. So a little bit of a mix to maximize your tax strategies that you can use as you go through your working years and retirement years. A nice mix is very good. Gives you opportunities. Let me add, as I'm saying all this, that every person's situation is different. So this is just general educational information I'm discussing tonight. Every person's situation is really, really different. You cannot compare yourself to the neighbor. The neighbor has a different risk tolerance. The neighbor has different income resources. The neighbor might spend very differently than you. I had a gentleman once who was, you know, getting a little tight on money. He was a spender, spending, you know, and enjoying his life. And I found out that when they would go out with the group of friends, he felt like his friends couldn't afford to go out. And they didn't want to miss going out. They enjoyed entertaining. They enjoyed being with their friends. They wanted to have a good time. So they would treat regularly. And I mentioned to him, if you think about this, because someone tells you they don't have any money, it could just be that they're budgeting and making really good, wise decisions not to spend money because they're saving for their future retirement. And they could end up being millionaires. And here this poor guy thought that his friends didn't have any money and he was treating all the time and having a good time. And he's the one who's going to end up with no money. So you have to be careful. Not every person's situation is the same, and don't try to keep up with the Joneses and live within your own means. So income taxes. I mentioned different kinds of income can get taxed at different rates. Long-term capital gains tax rates are much lower than the ordinary income tax rates. And so you want to be mindful of that. Also things like filing status, deductions, credits, your survivor timing, tax law. So lots of implications on income taxes. I have a caller on line one. Carolyn? Hi, Carolyn. I was thinking of you through the show. I thought, you know what? Carolyn from Sailorsburg hasn't called in a while. Thank you for calling. I'm here all by myself.
Oh, sure. Thank you for taking my call. I'm interested in how do you figure out what tax bracket you're going to be in when you retire? Is there some kind of formula, or it's very mysterious to me. Like, how do you figure that out? Do you look at, you know, how old I am, how much I save, what my income is, or how do you go about doing that? So you can figure out, do you want to do, you know, certain percent in the Roth or a certain percent pre-tax?
Yeah, it's a good question, Carolyn, and actually it can be very mysterious because it does depend on a number of factors. When people are retiring, it depends on what income sources they're going to have. So generally, if someone tells me they really only have Social Security and nothing else, that is super easy, because if they have nothing but Social Security, we know they're not going to have any income tax, because Social Security gets taxed based on how much other income is on your return. And it can be not included, or up to 50%, or up to 85%. So that's where the mysterious piece comes in, because most workers, when they retire, will be eligible for Social Security, and how much income they're going to have on their tax return will depend on that coordination of distributions from retirement accounts along with the Social Security. So generally, you kind of have to do a projection, but to add to the mystery is tax law can change periodically. Yeah. And right now we're in tax reform that expires in 2025, and the tax rates will go back to what they were a year ago. So to project out what tax bracket someone might be in their retirement is mysterious. And generally, a projection will help kind of give you an idea. But if someone has no pension and they're going to have Social Security, generally I would say in your working years, if you have modest investments, let's pretend, then generally in your working years, chances are you probably will be in a higher tax bracket than you will be in retirement. All right, so that's kind of a general.
Okay, so if you're working and you're in a higher tax bracket than you will be when you retire, then you want to put more money into the pre-tax.
Right,
I think. Okay.
Right, yes, into the pre-tax deferred 401k. If someone is going to have a pension, and maybe some big annuity that they've inherited, or some big IRA they might inherit from mom or dad, and we expect that they might have higher income in their retirement years, then you'd want to look at doing the after-tax or Roth IRAs, or converting to a Roth IRA during those lower income. Basically, you're just trying to always kind of chase putting ordinary income in lower tax years than the higher ordinary income in the lower tax years than in the higher. Wait, what am I saying? Lower ink, put your, Carolyn, I'm sorry, I'm just getting all confused now in what I'm just saying. So in your higher earning years, you generally want the deferral, and so that in your retirement years, you're in a lower tax bracket when you're taking money out of the retirement account. Okay. So I hope that cleared up my little confusion. I was getting lost in what I was saying.
Okay, but I guess you can buffer it with some Roth contributions.
Right.
Okay.
Well. So here's the part.
It's almost like hedging your bets.
Exactly.
Isn't it?
Exactly. And I love that. And I frequently talk about the Roth IRA because I love the Roth IRA. That is a hedge, and especially for people who can still contribute to the Roth while they're working. Some people, there's income limits, and over a certain income, you can't contribute to the Roth IRA. But for people who can do some of the pre-tax contributions through their employer, maybe get that match,
mm-hmm.
and kind of manage their income taxes and also do the Roth IRA, that is really a win when you have enough money to do both the Roth and the pre-tax contributions through the employer.
Okay.
And that is hedging it a little bit. And then that's really nice in retirement when you find out you're in a pinch and, gosh, maybe my Social Security is not taxable at all, but because my income's below a certain threshold, but now I need $20,000 to do that roof I mentioned earlier. If I put $20,000 on the tax return, now that Social Security might be 85% included. So that's kind of the tax planning strategies we want to watch. So instead of taking the money out of the IRA, if we have either cash in the bank or we have a Roth IRA, we can kind of manage the tax consequences on the tax return by having resources like a Roth or cash reserves available.
Okay, cash reserves being like a money market.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. So good question. It is mysterious.
And
I think it will remain mysterious as well. And so the best we can do is kind of do projections and then kind of watch for it. And then year by year, even in retirement, it's not always the same decision each year. That your decisions can change each year, your strategies that you're using.
Yeah, and depending on the law that year. Yeah.
Yep. And what else you have going on your tax return. So
thank
you for calling in. I appreciate it.
Okay, good talking to you.
Okay.
Good night.
Take
Thank
care.
You.
Bye-bye. Thanks, Carolyn, for calling in. So we are talking about the elements of financial planning. We've talked about cash flow, income taxes, a little bit about retirement. I want to mention pre-retirement when we're looking at that. You want to make sure that if you have an employer plan at work that provides a match, that you, to the extent you have, you know, cash flow, usually I'll tell people if you didn't think you could afford it one year, but the next year you get a raise, that might be the time you want to make sure you're contributing to work. If you get a match, if you're putting money into a retirement plan at work, quite often we have employers who will also put money in. Occasionally you'll have an employer who will put it in without you putting it in. That's called a safe harbor plan that an employer might have. So you want to make sure that you're getting free money. We're going to talk about that next week too, when I say, let's find some money, let me count the ways. That is one area where I see people sometimes miss out on the employer match. We'll talk a little bit about more about the other elements of financial planning when we get back from this next break. The phone number is 610-758-8810. Back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services including portfolio management, tax return preparation, and financial planning for the accumulation years, retirement years, and estate distribution. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Do you have a car that you're trading in? How about an old truck or boat that's taking up space? Let WDIY help you get rid of unwanted vehicles and turn them into financial support for the station. It's a simple and easy process. We handle all the towing, title, and transfer, and it may be tax deductible. Turn your vehicle into the programs you love. To learn more, visit WDIY.org or call 610-694-8100, extension 7.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices right here on WDIY. We're talking about the elements of financial planning. And it can get confusing. It can get complicated. It's like conducting a symphony, making sure all the various parts work together to give you this great sound and for you the ability to reach your goals and be successful in meeting those goals. As far as the elements of financial planning, we talked about cash flow, income taxes, a little bit about retirement. There's different options on Social Security, claiming options, when to claim. You want to pay attention to that as well, as long as cash flow allows. And depending on each person's longevity, life expectancy, survivor needs, it could skew what Social Security options you may end up deciding. Don't think just because your neighbor collected at 62 that you should collect at 62. It all depends on your circumstances. So again, you want to take that inventory of your assets, liabilities, your cash flow. You want to make sure that you define all your goals, know what your goals are, and how you want to meet them, and then understand how all of these different decisions you're making will impact your success. One of the elements, risk management, some of this happens, pre-retirement and some post-retirement. Pre-retirement, generally, we're talking about when we're working, if we have families, if we have a mortgage, if we have cash flow needs that a surviving spouse may need. We're talking about survivor needs to kind of take care of some of the debt that we may leave a loved one that without our earning power, they would not be able to meet their cash flow needs. That's life insurance, survivor needs. Sometimes while we're alive, we have to pay attention to long-term disability or short-term disability. Is it offered through work? If it's not offered through work, or maybe work doesn't pay for it, but they might offer it, and then you have to pay for it. How are you paying for it? Are you paying for it with pre-tax dollars or after-tax dollars? It makes a difference in how it gets income taxed when it comes out to you. You want to look at that risk management. That impacts cash flow. So you see how those go together. Estate planning as well. The life insurance is, if you're gone, who is it going to? Is it going to go to the estate? Is it going to go to your loved ones? Generally, we don't like to see life insurance go to the estate. I like to see life insurance go to the individuals who are going to need it after you're gone. So you want to coordinate your life insurance needs for cash flow and your life insurance for estate planning purposes by reviewing that with your attorney and your estate plan, etc. Property and casualty. Property and casualty is important, again, sometimes for cash flow or your estate, because property and casualty means if someone comes to your property and trips and falls and sues you for $3 million, what's going to happen to all of your assets? So you want to make sure you have proper coverage for your property and casualty, your auto, your homeowners, and that type of insurance. And you also want to take the time to ask your life or your property and casualty insurance agent, what do you think is covered that might not be? Some people might think sinkhole coverage would be there, or flooding, or I don't know, storm damage, whatever it might be. You want to make sure that you're not making assumptions about what kind of coverage you have on your insurance. Long-term care. Some people like long-term care. Some people don't like long-term care at all. There are a lot of different hybrid products out there now that are kind of a mix between maybe long-term care or life insurance. You need to understand what is available, how much it costs. Might there be something that you could afford that maybe years ago you wouldn't have wanted to buy? Does long-term care make sense for your particular family or situation? There are families who drop dead and never need care, nursing care ever. And then there's other families that everyone goes in nursing homes for years. What is your experience? Generally, I think people should make that a personal decision based on their experience. But the long-term care sometimes has a high cost to it. So that's going to impact your cash flow. So risk management and cash flow are related there. Let's move to investment management. Investment management, what's going on there? Well, you have to understand your own risk tolerance. That's very important in what kind of diversification or asset allocation you're going to have in your investments. And that will impact cash flow, because if you're so conservative and you're in preservation, then maybe you have money in CDs and they're making 1% a year. Well, that might not keep up with inflation. That might not keep up with your cash flow needs that you have in retirement. So you want to make sure you understand the risk tolerance for yourself and for your needs, your timeline, your time horizon, and your cash needs that you need from your investments. What kind of diversification you have? What kind of fees are you going to have? That all will impact the returns, which will impact and cost will impact your cash flow. Geography of your assets. When you're looking at your investment management, do you have all your bonds in your non-retirement account, in your non-qualified account, and you have all your equities in your 401k at work? Well, the geography of that might not make sense, because IRAs, 401ks, when all that money comes out, it's all ordinary income. Bonds are also all ordinary income. So if you have all your bonds in your regular joint or individual account, that's all ordinary income. You've just converted the ability to have some tax-favored investment income into all ordinary income with that strategy. What we like to look at there is, does it make sense to put the equities or the equity allocation in your joint or individual account, your what I call non-qualified account, for the tax-favored treatment of dividends, qualified dividends, and long-term gains? Those are tax-favored, and we're talking really great tax-favored. If someone's in a 33% tax bracket and they have long-term capital gains, they get taxed at 15%, not 33%. that same person, if instead of having capital gains or qualified dividends, had it all in bank CDs and had $15,000, I'll use $10,000 of CD interest at 33% tax, they're going to pay $3,300 of income tax. Whereas if it was all qualified dividends, it would be $1,500 of tax. So you see that impacts cash flow, because now you're going to be paying more income tax than you would have had to if you thought about the geography of your investments. But it also impacts cash flow. So cash flow, income tax, investments all coordinate. Estate planning. One of the areas that I think people tend to avoid the most, and I would like to make it easier for everyone, and hopefully I can have a show about making it easier for everyone at some point here in October. I think I have Dennis Pappas coming back on, and we're going to talk about estate planning. But estate planning, your documents, your beneficiary designations, your asset titling, and making sure it's all coordinated. And if I am someone who is leaving assets to my beneficiaries, and maybe I have some charity nonprofits in my part of my estate plan, I have seen a number of times where people say, I want to give $10,000 cash to my church, and they give the IRAs to their children. Well, let's rethink that, because IRAs are income taxable. And if I give those to my children when they cash out those IRAs or take a withdrawal on the IRA, it's all ordinary income. But cash to the charity doesn't have any income tax. Charities don't pay income tax. So would I rather not give the $10,000 from an IRA to my charity, who doesn't have to pay income tax, and give $10,000 cash to my kids? Yes, I would rather do that. So you need to take some time to understand what estate planning is, that it's not just about having a will or a power of attorney. It includes coordinating your estate plan and your needs and desires and how you want to transfer assets to your loved ones and or charities in a smart way, being a good steward and doing it in a tax favored way if you can. I know you're gone at this point. You might not care one way or another because you're gone. But if we talk about being good stewards of our money, then why not do it if it only takes one or two little steps to make that happen, to make that a better decision. So asset titling makes a difference, beneficiary designations make a difference, and who we are giving what makes a difference. So that estate planning can impact maybe not your cash flow or income taxes today, but certainly the income taxes and cash flow of your survivors. The other note, remember when I talked about having those equities maybe in the non-qualified or individual or joint accounts? Also, what happens at death is those get a step up in basis, meaning if I had AT&T stock that was I paid $1,000 for and it's now worth $100,000, I'm making this up, then I have a $99,000 gain on that. If I sold it today, I'd have a big, huge gain. But if instead I leave it in my estate and now my beneficiary inherits it, they also get a step up in basis. If they sell the $100,000 of AT&T the day after I die, the basis is $100,000. There's no gain or loss. There's no gain on that. So that can make a difference as to what assets we're going to pass to certain beneficiaries as well. All right, so those are the elements of financial planning, kind of trying to give you a flavor of how complicated it can be. And as Carolyn called it earlier, and we talked about the mysteriousness of some of what we have to plan for, that just adds another element of confusion for people. So what you try to do is the best you can with the information that you have. But I also encourage people to build in some flexibility. If you have this picture of your financial plan, what flexibility can you build in? Well, maybe you work a little longer. Maybe you take a part-time job. Maybe you work on cutting expenses sooner than later. Maybe set yourself up for your retirement years where you are spending less. Do that a little earlier, and then you can build up some additional reserves. Maximize retirement benefits. And most importantly, have an action checklist. An action checklist of how are you going to meet your goals? What are you going to do? And make sure that you revisit that action checklist regularly to make sure that you are on that path to reaching those goals that you set out and can live a nice, comfortable retirement. Have a nice, comfortable retirement, or pass on those assets to heirs that you want or to the charities that you want. I hope this helped tonight. Next week, I am going to talk about finding money. Let me count the ways. And I believe we'll probably have plenty of time next week to take callers' questions as well. But hopefully I can find some things to talk about. Finding money, let me count the ways. That kind of came to me, and I thought we'll see what we can do. I want to thank Lori for being here tonight, Shandi for being here. Carolyn, thanks for calling in. Thank you, listeners, for listening each and every week. I appreciate it, and I'm hoping we're adding value and bringing some financial education to the Lehigh Valley, and that you continue to tune in to WDIY for this information. Coming up next, we have Tom Druckenmiller within the tradition folk music. Remember, pay attention, be proactive, not reactive. Make the best of your financial choices, and have a great week.